Okay.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. We ask our Heavenly Father to send his Holy Spirit upon us, that we may understand what we read, that we may gain knowledge of the divine science as we read the book of Adam, that we may learn how to live in his will, how to love him as we were supposed to love him since the beginning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today we are in 77, I think. Linda, do you want to read?
Okay. Entry number 77 is April 21st, 1929. From volume 26. My daughter, my divine will is all fullness. There is nothing which it does not possess: immensity of light, unreachable sanctity, endlessness without boundaries, incessant generation. It sees everything. It feels and molds everything. All this is its nature in my divine fiat. Therefore, all its acts possess the fullness of every goods. So, in order to be able to enclose even a single act of it in the depth of the soul, it is necessary that she empty herself of all of herself and return to the void of her nothingness, as in the act in which she was created, so that my divine volition may find the space of the nothingness to be able to deposit an act of fullness of its own, which is such that possessing the incessant generative virtue, one act calls for another in a way that nothing must be lacking, neither fullness of light of sanctity, of love, of beauty, nor multiplicity of divine acts. Therefore, sanctity done in my divine will possesses all of the fullness, but so much of it that if God wanted to give her more, he would not find the space in which to put more light, more beauty. We would say, you are all beautiful. You are so very beautiful that we cannot add to you any other beauty. You are the work of our volition, and this is enough for you to be a work worthy of us. And the soul will say, I am the triumph of your divine fiat. Therefore, I am all rich and beautiful. I possess the fullness of an act of your divine will, which fills me completely. And if you wanted to give me more, I would not know where to put it. Such was the fullness of Adam's sanctity before he fell into the maze of his human will. Because he possessed the first act of our fiat, generator of his creation, and therefore he possessed fullness of light, of beauty, of strength, of grace. All the qualities of our fiat were reflected in him and embellished him so much that we ourselves felt enraptured in looking at it, in seeing our dear image so well sculpted in him, image that our divine being kept forming. Thus, even though he fell, he did not lose the life nor the regenerative hope of our fiat. Because having possessed the fullness of its act in the beginning of his life, it did not want to lose the one who had possessed it. The divinity felt so bound to Adam that it did not have the heart to banishing him forever. Losing what once was possessed by our fiat is too costly. Our strength would feel weak. Our love, the fire it possesses, would shrink in order not to do it. It would be the true divine embarrassment to lose the one who possessed even a single act of the fullness of our will. Amen, fiat.
Thank you very much. This is a very rich passage. Let's try to understand it. And let's go back. This time we are going to start from this, let's try to understand this, because this is a very rich passage that our Lord is giving Luisa Picaretta, and it really gives us an idea. All of these passages that we see in the book of Adam, they talk about the life that Adam possessed before the fall, but this one in a particular way is a little bit more rich than the other ones. Let's try to understand it through the definition, because the Lord is using the word fullness here. Such was the fullness of Adam's sanctity before he fell into the maze of his human will. Let's go back in that. In volume 23 of the Book of Heaven, October 2, 1927, we find the definition of fullness. And this is what our Lord says about fullness. It means to be filled to the brim, to the point of overflowing with light, sanctity, love, with all the divine qualities or attributes, in such a way as to be able to fill heaven and earth over which Adam, he had dominion. We know that he had dominion over the earth, all creation, through which his kingdom extended. Let's see what this means. So, according to this passage, the Lord says that such was the fullness, the sanctity that Adam possessed before the fall, that in creation, he possessed the fullness of light, of beauty, of strength, of grace. And it says all the qualities of our fiat were reflected in him and embellished him so much that we ourselves felt enraptured in looking at him. Okay. So let's try to understand that, and let's try to keep that in mind. Then let's go to the definition of unity. And in volume 23 again, October 16, 1927, the Lord gives the definition of unity to Luisa Picarreta. It says, It means one. A one which can embrace everything and everyone and can give everything because it encloses everything. My divine will possesses the unity of love and of all loves united together. It possesses the unity of sanctity and encloses all sanctities. It possesses the unity of beauty and encloses within itself everything beautiful that is possible and imaginable. In sum, it encloses the unity of light, of power, of goodness, of wisdom, true and perfect unity. While being one, must possess everything, and this everything must be all of an equal strength, all immersed and infinite, eternal, without beginning and without end. Therefore, one who lives in it lives with the immensity within the immense of giant waves it possesses, in such a way that the soul feels the empire of the one strength of light, of sanctity, of love. So in this one strength, everything is light for her. Everything changes into sanctity, into love, into power. And all things bring her the knowledge of the wisdom of this unity. Therefore, to live in it, the greatest miracle and the perfect carrying out of the divine life in the creature. The word unity means everything, and the soul takes everything by living in it. Okay. So now let's understand in these two definitions that the Lord himself gives to us, let's go back at the beginning of this passage and let's try to understand it. It says, my daughter, my divine will is all fullness. There is nothing which it does not possess. Immensity of light, unreachable sanctity, endless, without boundaries, incessant generation. It sees everything, it feels and molds everything. Again, the definition of fullness that he himself gives us. It means that a creature is filled to the brim, to the point of overflowing. Overflowing with what? The Catechism of the Catholic Church says, overflowing with divine life. The Catechism tells us that at the beginning, the way Adam and Eve, they were designed to function, they were designed to function with divine life running through them. 375 of the Catechism. When the Lord says that they possessed this fullness, now we understand that they were filled at every moment with every single action, with everything that they did, they were filled with divine life. And what is this divine life? It's everything that God is. And what is God? God is all the attributes together, and we do not know all of them, but we try to understand them. And in the book of heaven, we find some of the attributes too. Mercy, love, wisdom, light, immensity. Our Lord gives this to us here. There is nothing which it does not possess. There is nothing that God does not possess. So he was giving his life to Adam, this immensity of light. So this, in the Creed, we say God, light from light. And through the Book of Heaven, we understand that, and through sacred scripture also, we understand that God is a spirit. Not only the second person of the Blessed Trinity has become flesh, but God is light too. And this is what he communicated to Adam, this light. And this light that he communicate possess the immensity of love, of wisdom. This light cover him, this light that reside in the soul of Adam, fill him to the brim. And this light possess everything that God is. That's the way he was sharing. God was sharing his life with Adam, and this light was growing in within him with every movement, with every act, with everything that he was doing. That was the participation of the life of God giving his life to Adam. That this is what the Catechism tells us in 375, that this grace of the original holiness was a participation, a shared in the divine life. So God giving to Adam this light fill immediately him, Adam, with the fullness. And what's fullness? It means being filled to the brim with what? With light, sanctity, love. It says with all the divine qualities, with everything that God is. So the divine will that doesn't have any boundaries, because the divine will sees everything. He says it sees everything, it fills and molds everything. All this is its nature in my divine fiat, therefore. All its acts possess the fullness of every good. So in order to be able to enclose even a single act of it in the depth of the soul, it is also here. We understand that this light that God gave to Adam, it resides in the depth of the soul of man. And from within that, it grow and grow and grow. It was growing in at every moment. And this light possess all that God is. Again, light, sanctity, love, all the divine attributes. We compare it to the gospel with the parables that our Lord Jesus gives in the gospel. Our Lord mentions that he gives this parable that the kingdom of heaven is like a yeast that a woman put in a batch of flowers and it grew. So imagine that the batch of flowers was the humanity of Adam. And the yeast was this light deposit in the depth of the soul. And it just kept growing in and growing in and growing in. When the Lord says the kingdom of heaven is like, basically he's saying the kingdom of the divine will, or the divine will is. But he couldn't say at the moment because people will not be able to understand it. But what's the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of the divine will. Well, where the will of God is done perfectly, where everybody is perfectly united, each one of them according to their own capacity. So now through sacred scripture, we understand that when the Lord Jesus was talking about the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of heaven is like so and so, he's talking about this. So now we understand that we are that flower. And the divine will is that yeast. And it grows and grows and grows in us. But what does it need to grow in us, all of this? We will find this in the next lines. Let's go back. All this is its nature in my divine fiat. Therefore, all its acts possess the fullness of every good. So in order to be able to enclose even a single act of it in the depth of the soul, it is necessary that she empty herself of all of herself and return to the void of her nothingness as in the act in which she was created, so that my divine volition may find the space of the nothingness to be able to deposit an act of fullness of its own. So here is so clear what we need to do. It's so clear what we need to do. What do we need to do? It is necessary that every one of us may empty ourselves. And what do we have to get rid of? What do we have to empty? Our soul has to be basically empty. And this is what the saints, the church has been teaching us through all this more than 2,000 years. The saints, they have, the first saint that comes to mind is John of the Cross. Mortifying himself, getting rid of all the imperfections in the soul by mortifying himself. Getting rid of all the appetites of the soul, physical appetites, which basically are sins, trying to empty himself. So each one of us, to make this way of living, to make the teachings of the divine will livable for us, and to really be transformed by these teachings, that they may have effect in us, as they did in Luisa Picarreta, we have to do a lot of work. Basically, we have to work on ourselves. We have to get rid of all, as St. Paul tells us, get rid of all malice. Get rid of the old man and put in the armor of Christ. For St. Paul, to get rid of the old is to get rid of everything that is sin. So here, every one of us has to look inside and to say, well, I need to grow in this and this and this and this, in the virtues, basically. And what are the virtues? It's a good thing that we are just on Zoom, because if we were in a room, I will ask you to write them down. Don't worry, I will say, don't put your name. But we really have to look at this. What are the virtues? What do they do to us? They transform us. They help us to see inside ourselves and see what is lacking or what it needs to be done. So we know that the three theological virtues that God gives us freely, that he communicates himself, his life to us in baptism, is faith, hope, and charity. Those are freely given in baptism, and that's the way God communicates, shares his life with us. He begins, as it were, the conversation with the creature. That's the way God, we could say, marries the soul for the first time, comes and loves the soul for the first time. That's a manifestation. That's how he manifests his love for us, giving us basically his own life in little tiny pieces, infusing in the depth of the soul that divine life that the Catechism is talking about in 375, that God was giving, sharing his divine life in such a way that he was being filled to the brim at every moment. So how do we grow in those virtues? Well, by reading sacred scripture, by knowing the faith. So we speak in the church, we speak of faith in two ways. In theology, we call it fides qua and fides qua. But basically is the gift that is given to us in baptism, freely given, and then the knowledge, gaining knowledge to learn how to love God as we were supposed to love him since the beginning. And in doing that, we fulfill the first commandment. We learn to love God with all our heart, our soul, and with everything that we are. I think it's very simple. But we somehow skip this work that we have to do in ourselves. And that's also, I believe, is my belief, my personal belief, that this is also part of the consequence of the fall. That since the intellect is one of the powers of the soul, it's also been affected. We are kind of lazy. We acquire this laziness to know God, basically. But God gives us all the means. He gives us this gift of faith. And then this gift of faith has to grow by us coming to know more about who God is. And then by doing that, we learn to also love him in the way Adam, innocent Adam, was loving him. And in doing that again, we fulfill the first commandment. We come to know, to love God, and we serve him with our acts. Then we begin serving him with our acts, loving him with our acts in union with God's will. But instead, we have filled ourselves with ourselves. And the Lord is very clear. It is necessary that she is talking about the soul. So here I will suggest that each one of us, we may put our name. It is necessary that I may empty myself of myself, so that I may return to the void of my nothingness. As I was supposed to be empty since the beginning, so that the divine will may find its place, may the divine will find the space of the nothingness in me, So the divine will may be able to give me and to deposit that fullness in my soul in such a way that I may begin living in this way, in such a way that I may possess the incessant generative virtue. This is very important. This is a very important concept. The incessant generative virtue. Again, we are not in the room. If not, I will ask you to really understand and to write down what does it mean to possess the incessant generative virtue. It means that it never ceases to generate new things, to work. It's like a battery that never dies. It's always charged at 100% at every moment. Imagine if we had a cell phone that we never have to charge it. That the more you use it, it will charge itself. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, maybe somebody out there is listening to me and maybe they will develop this and then they will patent the idea. We can use the money for the divine will. But imagine, this is what Adam possessed. Just by looking at this and really thinking about this, it really makes me almost cry to see the things that we lost. That is very sad. And this is what God wants us to understand, that we lost this incessant generative power that he gave us. And although we are not, it's not our fault, we participate in the consequence. But now God is telling us how to go back to the possession of this incessant generative power living in us, to acquire this divine battery that never dies. So again, let's go back to the teachings of the church. If our Lord Jesus is telling me, so I ask you to put your name there when the Lord says, it is necessary that she, every one of us, we must put our name there. It is necessary that I empty myself of myself. How? By looking inside of me and saying, I need to grow in the virtue of so-and-so. I mentioned the three theological virtues, but those are gifts freely given, yes. There are other virtues that we must acquire by practicing. What are those? Temperance, prudence, justice, fortitude. We call them cardinal virtues. They are not given to us freely. We have to work on them. How many times do we find ourselves in saying, why did I say that? I shouldn't have said that. Oh, that wasn't right. That was imprudent of me to say. But we have this blindness. That's the spiritual blindness that we have. And we have filled ourselves with ourselves. We have filled ourselves with a creature. Look at the world. People want to be like, so and so. Then we have all these idols. We have filled ourselves with idols. Very few people say, I want to be like Christ. Or I want to be like the Blessed Mother. They want to be like so and so in Hollywood and this and that and that and that and that, you name it. So that's why I think we really have to look inside of ourselves. And each one of us has to do a reflection and to see, this is what I need to do in order for me to come to the possession of this gift, so that God can bestow upon me this gift that will give me the generative powers, so that with every action that I do, I may love him. So that I may love him as I was supposed to love him always. To try to know him, to come to the knowledge that I was supposed to have of him. So we have a lot of work to do. I don't know about you, but I have a lot of work to do. And I think this is what keeps us from growing in, from letting this divine science transforming us, because we are lazy. We do not want to do the job. That's why the Lord is so insistent with Luisa Picarreta. Be attentive, be attentive, be attentive. That's why at the beginning, in volume two especially, he talks a lot about the virtues, how much he loves humility, how much he loves charity, how much he loves all the virtues. And even at one point he says, and this virtue generates the other virtue. And this is the base for the other virtue, and the other, and the other. It's all over, but we are spiritual blind. We don't want to do the work that it needs to be done in us. So that's why it's very important that we put our name there in that passage and really try to work on that. As long as we are here on this earth, we will have to do work, because grace works through nature. That's the teaching of the church. It is not magic to say, come divine will and breathe in me and all of that suddenly. There have to be the dispositions. What are the dispositions? Basically, all of these that we are talking about, and the Lord is telling us, basically, these are the dispositions. Empty yourself of yourself. So that my divine will can find its space in you. And who is the you? Each one of us. It says, with this life operating in us, this divine light, this divine will operating in us, it says that it fills us with everything. It has the incessant generative virtue. One act calls for another in a way that nothing must be lacking. Let's go back to the virtues. One virtue generates another and another and another and another. Says in a way that nothing must be lacking, nothing, not neither fullness of light, of sanctity, of love, of beauty. These are the attributes. Since Adam was created in the state of grace, immaculate, He didn't have any defect, any vice. Therefore, he didn't have to work in acquiring virtue. He was disposed to receive this divine life. That's why God was able to share his divine life freely in a natural way, as the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us in 375, that the original holiness was a participation of the divine life. And he was fully disposed because he was not filled with himself. So therefore, basically, he was living in the mystical union, in the mystical marriage. He was able to give a little sip of sip of sip. Remember, by possessing that light, sitting in the depth of his soul, it generates everything, beauty, light, sanctity, multiplicity of divine acts. In the second volume of the Book of Heaven, our Lord talks about basically mystical marriage. To put it in a very simple way, mystical marriage is the fusion of all the virtues into the will of God. But if we don't have the virtues, he cannot marry the soul. You see that? The soul cannot experience the mystical marriage unless God gives a gift, an experience like he gave to St. Paul, of a conversion like that. And he was able to totally turn to God. But because we are living in the time of in the after the fall, we don't possess that immaculacy that Adam possessed. Therefore, we don't have the dispositions. We have to work on that. And again, that's the work that each one of us has to do. And this goes in line with the church. The church, throughout the liturgical calendar, is constantly telling us, intensify your prayer, do fasting, almsgiving, all the spiritual works that of mercy that the Lord that the church is telling us to do, all of this to try to empty ourselves of ourselves. We see this in the different saints. We see this in St. Francis of Assisi. We see that in him. He arrived to the point to be able to empty himself, to get rid of everything, even of his clothing. That beautiful story that tells us that he went outside of the church. And he just threw away everything, and he was totally exposed. He understood somehow he had that conversion. We have to arrive to the point. Saint Vincent de Paul, in his writings, he says, all that you have in the closet and you do not use, that belongs to the poor. All that you have and do not use, it belongs to the poor. So because we are so filled with ourselves, but we have become lazy. We don't want to do the work that we have to do because we live in a society that it tells us the opposite. That you gotta have, you gotta have, you gotta have more and more and more. Here, when you empty yourself, when we empty ourselves and we really leave that void That is supposed to be in our souls, be filled with this fullness. And fullness means to be filled to the point, to the brim, to the point of overflowing. The Blessed Mother is a beautiful example. That's why God is able to say through the angel, full of grace. Therefore, sanctity done in my divine will possesses all fullness. But so much of it that if God wanted to give her more, he will not find the space in which to put more light, more beauty. We will say, you are all beautiful. You are so very beautiful that we cannot add to you any other beauty. You are the work of our volition, and this is enough for you to be a work worthy of us. And the soul will say, I am the triumph of your divine fiat. Therefore, I am all rich and beautiful. I possess the fullness of an act of your divine will, which fills me completely. And if you wanted to give me more, I will not know where to put it. In reality, this is a way of speaking that the Lord is telling us, because he already is telling us that by possessing this, it will generate constantly. But what he means here is that this way, it really fill the creature, and we will become the triumph of his love, basically. But right now, we are not the triumph of his love. The Blessed Mother was, is. Luisa Picarreta learned how to empty herself. This is basically what the Lord is teaching her in the first volumes. So you really understand this concept that I have to empty myself of myself to be able to grow. Why so many people have known these writings for years, 10, 20, or even more, and there is no transformation, because we don't want to do the work. We don't want to do the work in ourselves. And when we priests tell the people, sometimes people get offended and we become bad priests. Too rigid. Too traditional. And so on. But isn't this how the Lord begins his gospel? Read the beginning of the gospel of John and the beginning of the gospel of Matthew. The beginning of the ministry of Jesus. And you will see that Jesus will say, repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Saint Paul will say, conversion, metanoia, it means to change the way we think, the old way, and to be transformed. To let these writings transform us so that we really one day can say, I am the triumph of your divine fiat, Lord. We cannot do this ourselves, and that's why the Lord gave us the advocate. This is your homework for all of you, to go and find out what the advocate means. to understand what the word advocate means. Because this is the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's why he's there. One way we can call the Holy Spirit to help us is, Holy Spirit, come and open my understanding. Help me to change. Or make me the triumph of the divine will, Holy Spirit. I want to be the triumph of the divine fiat. I want to possess your divine will operating in me, Lord, as Adam possessed it. I want to know you as Adam knew you before the fall. I want to come to know this divine love that you have for me. And this is how we allow really the Holy Spirit transform us. But we have to do a lot of work. In the Acts of the Apostles, we see that the first communities, they were so filled with this, with the Word of God and with the way they were transformed that people, they wanted to be like them. And he says the community of believers grew and grew, always because of their way of life, of their example. There was this deep transformation, this deep conversion happening in the depth of the soul, really changing, changing. I think if we really learn to live in this way, psychologists and therapists, they will not have work anymore. But we have to let the Holy Spirit have his way in us. Now the Holy Spirit is working only part-time in us. He has to work full-time. Always. But for that, I have to go back and to see what the Lord is telling me. So and so, again, your name. There. Empty yourself of yourself. So hopefully one day we can say the Holy Spirit can present us before the divinity as the triumph of the Blessed Trinity, basically. The triumph, we may become the triumph of the kingdom of heaven, which is the kingdom of the divine will. And so the soul will say, I am the triumph of your divine fiat, therefore I am all rich and beautiful. I possess the fullness of an act of your divine will, which fills me completely. And if you want to give me more, I will not know where to put it. Such was the fullness of Adam. So here, such was the fullness of Adam's sanctity before he fell into the maze of his human will, because he possessed the first act of our fiat, generator of his creation, and therefore he possessed fullness of light, of beauty, of strength, of grace. He possessed, according to his capacity, the divine attributes. Again, he didn't have to work in becoming more virtuous. And this is a distinction that we have to make, because while it is true that he didn't have to work in virtue because he was completely immaculate, he just had to remain there like that. But he didn't have to say, geez, I have to work in my patience. I have to be more prudent. I have to, no, he just had to continue in that unity. Somehow there is a disconnection here for us, because for us, we are not living in the state of immaculacy, so we do have to work on virtue. The Lord is telling us very clear here, empty yourself of yourself. That's the difficulty for us. That's the difficulty for us, that if we want to possess this life, to possess this fullness, if we want God to deposit that light, that ray of light that possesses fullness of everything in unity, that will generate in us, then I have to empty myself of myself. And the way to do it is by working in acquiring these virtues. Now, the goal here is not to be virtuous only. That was the goal of the saints because they didn't know this knowledge. But for us, that's the way to arrive to the possession also. That's a tool for us. But we have forgotten that, and that there is a disconnection in that. So he possesses all the beauty, because he possesses the fullness of light, of strength, of grace. All the qualities of our fiat were reflected in him and embellished him so much that we ourselves felt enraptured in looking at him, in seeing our dear image so well sculptured in him, image that our divine being kept forming. Now, here you see how he was so enraptured with Adam before the fall. And if you go to the book of Genesis, you see that God says that he regretted having created man. That's another homework for you. It's in the first chapters of Genesis. That he regretted because man became so disfigured. But that's not what God intended. You see that looking at him, God felt enraptured. I wonder if he could be able to say that about each one of us. If he is enraptured. So that's even though he felt he did not lose the life nor the generative hope of our fiat, because having possessed the fullness of its act in the beginning of his life, he did not want to lose the one who had possessed it. So even though he felt, God kept for us the hope that we one day we will possess it. So he lost it. But when he says that, even though he felt he did not lose the life nor the generative hope, the hope of our fiat, so that one day he will give it to us again. And this is the way. Because each one of us has to be the triumph of the love of God, the triumph of the kingdom of heaven, which is the kingdom of the divine will. We are that flower that Jesus is talking about in the gospel. The divine will is the yeast. The The divinity felt so bound to Adam that it did not have the heart to banish him forever. Remember that we are all present in Adam. So again, when he said the divinity felt so bound to Adam, you can substitute now the word Adam for your own name. Losing what once was possessed by our fiat is too costly. Our strength will feel weak. Our love, the fire it possesses, will shrink in order not to do it. It will be the true divine embarrassment to lose the one who possess even a single act of fullness of our fiat. So I think this is a very important passage. It's one of the most important passages, I think, that talk about the life of Adam. For me, having read this writings of Adam, it I will say this passage is the heart of this book. It really tells us in a clear way what we are supposed to do, what we are supposed to possess. And we have, I don't know about you, but we have a lot of work to do. Maybe we can leave it there tonight. We are not going to the letters. It's a lot of material. So let's finish, and then we can open for some questions. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the graces we have received. We ask you to send the Holy Spirit upon us, to breathe in us, to palpitate in us. May your Holy Spirit immerse us and bring us to that holy will that you want us to possess in our souls. May we become the triumph of your divine love. May each one of us become the triumph of your divine will. Through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon each one of you and remain with you forever.